It's about the survival of faith, family, and freedom. It's about the future. He's a father of five, and he's committed to preserving a legacy for the next generation. Here's Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five and raising my children in a day where man is lost and lonely. That's my synopsis of where modern man is in this world. He's lost and lonely. He is absent of truth and relationships. Two things we're trying to bring back on this program as we look at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview. That is truth. That is truth. That is absolute truth. We believe in it. We hold to it. We establish it. We integrate it into life. Yes, we reemphasize there is such a thing as absolute truth to all of those who are lost. And to those who are lonely, we are trying to bring back the notion of relationships. The modern world has sucked relationships out of our lives and replaced it with programs. We have disintegrated the family, and that is basically the root. That's the basic relationships of all of life. We've seen the disintegration of the family, and it's largely come by means of public schools, by means of the corporate lifestyle, by means of the disintegration and segregation of families and churches, by means of non-interactive entertainment forms. We've lost the concept of relationships. And Dave, I think relationships are sort of like disposable cups. People are just tossing them away. If they might handle a relationship for a little while, but after a while, hey, it's gone. It happens in marriage, right? You got a lot of divorces happening. About half of marriages end in divorce. But it happens in churches. It happens with friends. People don't keep the same friends for years and years. They don't have friendships for generations as they once did. I think of the Proverbs where it talks about your father's friend ought to be a precious friend to yourself. I can't remember where that shows up, but that sort of thing is foreign today. We are so transient in this day and age where we move from city to city, community to community, from church to church, and really friendships are at a premium. I think for the most part superficial, but even when we do get friendships, they're sort of disposable. Now, most people just abandon relationships when there's a little hitch in the relationship, when a little conflict comes into play. They just toss the relationship to the wind. Sometimes they don't talk to each other for weeks on end, months on end. Sometimes they just abandon the friendship altogether. But today, folks, we want to look at this issue of conflict and how to deal with the rapids of relationships. I like to refer to riding the rapids. Where from time to time it's smooth water, but sometimes you go through a number four, a number five, a number six rapid, you drop down over the waterfall, 16-foot drop, and you got to keep everybody in the boat and keep those relationships together. And a lot of times we find relationships unraveling in a lot of situations. What do you do when somebody offends you? What do you do when a friend is falling into sin? What happens if one of your friends starts taking God's name in vain, or you suspect that your best friend in the church is cheating on his wife? Or let's say you've got a pastor in the church and you think he's skimming off the top of the church offerings. What do you do? What do you do? Well, in Galatians chapter 6, which is sort of the fundamental text relating to friends who are falling into sin and creating rifts and conflicts in relationships, we read, if any man is overtaken in a fault, those that are spiritual should restore such an one in a spirit of meekness. Well, this is called confrontation. And for the most part, folks, people do not like this. They would rather abandon a friendship for the rest of their lives than to wade into a friendship and deal with the sin in the lives of others. And yet, God calls us to this. That's what Matthew 18 is all about. That's what Galatians 6 is about. How do you confront somebody with sin? That's next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to your hat. Generations will be right back. In a world where 36% of children are born without fathers and half of marriages end in divorce, here's one father who cares about the future of the next generation. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Back on Generations, this is Kevin Swanson. Dave Buhner also in studio with me today. And Dave, I need to confront you about something. I've been holding back on this for a long time. Our relationship is an important relationship. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. Let me get in the confrontation position.
Okay.
Okay, bring it
up. Stop flinching. Well, today, folks, want to talk about confrontation. It's an essential part of relational living. You gotta confront people, and you can't just get into a big conflict and disappear and walk away. Now, here's the point. Confrontation is part of the Christian life. Matthew 18:15 says, your brother sins against you, what are you gonna do? Slug him and leave and never see him again. No, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone, and if he hear you, you've gained your brother. Or here's Proverbs 27:5, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. If you don't confront a situation, things just get worse and worse. When you're not dealing with the issues that come between you in your relationships, whether it be in family or church, calcification builds up. And typically that's bitterness, that those are walls, those are rifts. The walls go up and the rifts get broader, and after a while, distance forms in the relationship. Why? Because you have not been maintaining the relationship. The Bible speaks about relationships and what it takes to maintain those relationships. That includes such things as asking for forgiveness, providing forgiveness, and this thing called confrontation. All right, now when do you confront a brother or sister in Christ? When do you confront your wife or your husband? Well, some people never confront, and those are those who are walking away from the whole thing. Again, things build up. Now, there are other people that confront all the time. They're nitpicky. They confront over this. They confront over that. And there's a point at which, yeah, there's too much confrontation going on because you're holding everything against somebody, and you're just too sensitive. And we have folks out there that may be a little too sensitive. And here's the other text that ties into this, David. That's Jesus in Matthew 7 when he says, judge not that ye be not judged. Jesus isn't saying there, don't be discerning about others. Don't draw distinctions between good and evil, right and wrong. Don't get into people's lives and correct people. Never judge your child. Don't correct your child. Never say he's doing a bad thing. No, he's not saying that. He's just saying you will be judged by the same standard that you use for the judgment of others. So just make sure your standard is appropriate to the standard you would have meted out upon you. All right, now when do you confront? Here, let me give some examples. You would confront when you see a brother or sister or somebody with whom you have a relationship, either in the family or in the church. You'll confront when you see a habitual sin in their life that seems to be getting the upper hand in their life. For example, sometimes anger can ruin a relationship. And if you see that anger is ruining the relationship a guy has with his wife, then I think it'd be appropriate that you walk in on a situation like that and confront that brother who is struggling with his anger problem. But not in every situation. Galatians chapter 6 is another important text here. If your brother is taken by a sin, then you wait and you deliver that brother from that sin. I picture this as a sin that has his tentacles wrapped around your brother's throat. He's captured by this evil sin. His sin is hampering his walk with God. It's hampering his relationship with his wife. If this is the situation, then I think we have a duty to wade in on that situation and confront our brother. Now, secondly, let's talk about an attitude in confrontation. Our attitude, our heart condition in confrontation is absolutely essential. Because your attitude's not right, I think your brother's going to pick up on this. He's going to know when your attitude, your heart attitude, isn't right towards him. Number one, it needs to be humility. The Bible says when you're going to talk to your brother about his sin, make sure you take the log out of your eye first so that you can see clearly to remove the tiny little speck that's in your brother's eye. So the first thing is make sure that you are humble and you have proper assessment of yourself. That you know where you're coming from. You know your own sins. And certainly you ought to be able to confess your sins up front so that you will be ready to help your brother deal with his sin. Now, secondly, we've got a heart attitude of humility here. Also, I'd throw in a heart attitude of love. And I mean you've got to be love. loving towards your brother. You really got to have a heart attitude that truly, deep down, really cares for that person, and you really want the best for that person. I think somebody once said, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And that applies in confrontation. If you're walking into confrontation and you're just sort of blasé and you're pointing out your brother's fault, hey, you did this, hey, you did that, and your brother knows that you don't care a whit for him, then he's not going to respond very well to that confrontation. You've got to have concern, heart deep concern for that brother if you're going to confront him, and he needs to know it. If you're acting out of vindictiveness or bitterness or anger, they're going to know it. Folks know that. Dave, if you've got a little bitterness towards your brother, you're just kind of angry, you're just kind of, I don't know, your heart is just upset with him, those aren't good times to confront.
No, because you're not doing it for his own good. You're not doing it to restore a relationship. You're doing it to empower yourself.
Yeah, you're doing it out of self-aggrandizement or self-gratification. And if confrontation is a therapy session for you, I think it's not being done with the right heart attitude. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about the strategy in confrontation. Now, this is a sticky situation. Nobody really likes to confront unless, especially if they're doing it the right way, all right? If confrontation is just walking in and slicing your brothers and sisters' heads clean off, and you get a lot of self-satisfaction out of that, okay, right up front I'm saying you're doing it with the wrong heart attitude. But if it's difficult for you to do it, if you're coming at it and you're having a hard time with it, my guess is your heart's probably in the right place. Couple of points. The first point is take your time in confrontation. Take your time. Consider yourself. James 1 and verse 19 says, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. So take your time. Think about it for a while. And especially if this is a heavy-duty situation, maybe this is a sin that's been building up for a long time, you haven't been dealing with it, you know you need to deal with it, maybe this is a long-standing conflict between you and somebody else, take the time, pray about it, think about what you're going to say up front. Consider some of the responses that your brother or sister may bring back to you, and consider what you would say and how you would react to how they would react. I mean, this is heavy-duty spiritual exercise. You know, it's easy, Dave, even in the middle of confrontation, even if you're coming at it with the right attitude, it's easy to get a little angry or frustrated with your brother in the midst of it.
It's easy to begin being angry, especially if what you're confronting is something that was a sin against you. Take your children. It's very easy to discipline them when you're angry, and yet that's not really disciplining them. That's not teaching them. That's not for their benefit. That's for your personal peace.
That's right. So deal with your anger. Deal with those sins that are in your own heart. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, you who are spiritual, go in, and yet do it with meekness, because you can get caught in this trap of sin so easily. This is difficult stuff. This is stuff that requires a great deal of spiritual maturity. But we are all called to this. That's what Matthew 18 says. If you have a brother that sinned against you, you need to go to that brother. You don't send somebody else. You don't ask somebody else to go for you. You don't send them an email. And that's the other thing. You go directly to that brother or sister. Email can be, I think, a very, very bad way to deal with tense situations. If you've got conflict or if you've got a sensitive issue you've got to deal with, never, 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 never do it with email. You know why? Email does not give you that opportunity to convey emotions. So, see, people aren't seeing your facial expressions as you're bringing these issues to bear. Now, I know it's easy to do with email. There's nothing to it to just write down a note and send it. But they're not getting your heart. They're not seeing your heart in that. And a lot of times when you confront through email, people always assume the very worst. They don't hope the best. They assume the very worst of you. And here's the other thing. They don't have that instant opportunity to come back and clarify what you have said and get the full story. So that doesn't happen. Typically, there's time for bitterness to build up between the time you hit the send key and somebody else responds to it. So, again, I caution folks, don't confront by email.
Boy, with that kind of reasoning, you'd probably be also against broadcasting everyone's sins across to your blog.
Yeah, that would be very confronting by means of a blog. Go, the Bible doesn't say blog it. The Bible doesn't say email it. The Bible, Jesus himself says, go to your brother and tell your brother his fault, that he would he would ask forgiveness.
Get the blog out of your own eye first.
Get the blog out of your own eye. Good point. Be willing to go several times. Be willing to take some time with this, because sometimes I think it takes some time for repentance. I think people sometimes have this idea that if they just drop the bomb, all right, they just force the confrontation and deal with the issue, somehow the confrontation itself will change the heart. But again, it takes the Spirit's work in people's hearts to bring about repentance, be willing to pray about it and wait for it, be willing to apply some patience and go back several times. Timing is also critical in confrontation, Dave. If you ever want to confront your wife, gently point out her sin to her, you don't really want to do it right in the middle of a ferocious argument about something. And one more thing, honey, you've had a real problem with submission. I've noticed that over the last 2 months, and I'm just going to bring it out right now in the middle of this argument. Dave, really a bad move. Bring it out at that point.
I think what we're talking about here is heart surgery, where you make the minimum incision. You do the minimum disruption of to the body itself. We're not rolling a hand grenade. Now, both will cut the heart,
yeah.
But we're actually trying to repair it.
Yes, we're trying to repair it. We're not trying to roll hand grenades and pull the whole thing apart. And Dave, you know, this is the other thing, is confronting your wife is a challenge, is a difficult thing. You want to make sure you time it right. You don't do it in the middle of an argument. You don't do it on a stressful day when, you know, she's had a tough day. And one more thing, honey, you know, you've got this bitterness issue, I think, in your heart. We got to deal with that right now. That, you know, again, timing is critical, sensitive to where she's at, sensitive where her needs are. And she needs to know that you really do love her and you really do care for her before you bring out these confrontations.
In fact, with your wife, I would suggest that you go about reaffirming the relationship first, that you prepare her, let her know that we're going to talk about some serious issues, but then take her out to dinner, reaffirm the relationship, reaffirm that you love her, and then say, but sweetheart, we need to work on this particular area. Do it in the context of where it's safe for her, where it's going to build the relationship, where oneness can be achieved as opposed to two people going separate ways, each feeling angry or hurt or left out or offended.
And humility will go the mile for you. You know, if you start out confessing your own sins, Dave, in that situation, you say, honey, you know, I want to say first of all here, after this nice dinner, you know, I got to confess some of my sin. You don't want to minimize your sin. If you as the husband or as the leader, as the spiritual leader in this confrontation, are willing to step forward and say, hey, I'm a sinner and I've sinned against you in this area and that area. I raised my voice. I've been impatient with you. I've noticed I've been angry towards you a number of times. In fact, just yesterday I said this in this way, honey. And you don't minimize that sin. No ifs, ands, or buts. It was me. I was there. I did the thing. I'm witnessing against myself. I'm asking for your forgiveness right now. If you start that way, Dave, that does a lot to, first of all, set the example of humility. Of, you know, hey, we're sinners, but this is what we do with our sins. And I think it also provides a little bit of a cushion to the confrontation as you bring their sin out and face them with their sin.
The confession has to be sincere. It has to be contrite. If what you're doing is trying to soften your blow and it's a strategy and a gimmick, then it'll blow up in your face. And it should, because you should confess that it's a gimmick to your wife, too.
Good point. Use a soft tongue. Show that you're concerned. Show that you love the person you're confronting. Honey, here's an example. Honey, I'm concerned about the wall that seems to be growing up between us these days. I love you. I want our marriage to be a happy one. Could we take some time this evening and talk through this? Again, using the soft answer, using the soft tongue, great way to bring out a confrontation. Talk in person. We mentioned that. And as far as I'm concerned, Dave, there isn't an easy way to break into a confronting mode. The attitude is essential. Humility can really go well. I think it's helpful to have your friend out to lunch. If you're working through an issue, a conflict, have him out to lunch. Enjoy some time together. Catch up on a few things. Listen to some of the challenges that he's going through, and then you drop the bomb. At some point, you got to drop the bomb, and you can't get away from it. Ted, I can understand how frustrating it must be to have so many of these financial pressures we've been talking about. I also see how tough it was to make a repair on the car so soon after I sold it to you. I'm trying to figure out what I should do about it. Would it help if I knew a little more about what went wrong with the engine? So, again, you know, kind of working into the issue, bringing out the issue, and then engaging in the discussion on the conflict. Or here's another one. If you're confronting a brother about a sin, oh, Jim, man, it seems like you've been under a lot of pressure lately. As a brother, I have to say that I've seen you lose it a time or two with your wife. I'm kind of concerned. Are you struggling with anger? You've been struggling with anger lately? See, Dave, that's hard to say, isn't it? But I think there's a way to say it. That's my point. And the final point I want to make on today's program on confrontation is listening. Listening skills are critical in this process, my friends. There are different forms of listening. And I quote from Ken Sandys, peacemaker on this particular segment, waiting to speak, not jumping to premature conclusions, not interrupting, and disciplining yourself to be comfortable with silence. Allow for a little silence here and there. It doesn't have to be all talk. Allow for some time to think. Wait and think before you speak. Take your time. Secondly, attending to what is being said. Don't allow your mind to wander. It's critical that you're listening to all the things that they are saying. Pay attention to the body language. And be careful that you're maintaining good eye contact yourself and you don't have negative body language. Leaning forward implies interest, nodding your head, these sorts of things. Obviously, if you care about this other person, this is the sort of thing that you're going to be doing. Clarifying, making sure you understand. You might say, are you saying this? Perhaps you could give me an example here. And another form of listening is reflecting or paraphrasing, summarizing what the other person's main points are. You believe I didn't take time to hear you out. From your perspective, I was wrong when you said this about you, that sort of thing. Reflecting and paraphrasing the things that they are saying. And finally, agreeing. This is often the most powerful way of renewing the relationship, agreeing on the things that you can agree on. There may be some main points that you can still agree upon. State these points before you get into the areas in which you do not agree. You're right. I was wrong when I said this or that. You know, a lot of what you said was true. I do need to deal with my attitude. Those sorts of things can be very, very effective listening skills as you confront your brother. Now, as we wrap up the program, folks, let me encourage you to get a resource that can be very, very helpful in all of this. These are the nuts and bolts of relationships. These are the nuts and bolts of the Christian life. If we can't interact with each other and deal with conflict and confront each other in a biblical way, my friends, we're not living the Christian life. That's why I like the resource, The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy. It's one of the very best Christian books written in our generation. And I think you need to train your children in these issues too. He's got the Young Peacemaker book as well. And you can get either one of these books, The Young Peacemaker or The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy, by going to my website, kevinswanson.com, and clicking on store. That's kevinswanson.com and click on store. You can interact with the program, my friends, by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.